As they're doing that, I wanted to, was with some doctors that were just back from Niger and Rwanda this last Wednesday night, ministering with my brother, refreshing them. They'd been over there for 6 months ministering, kind of hard, lots of Muslims, lots of mosquitoes and hot, and you know what I mean, it was tough stuff. But they're come back, they're all going to give their hearts to missions, and we just spend some time kind of refreshing those folks when they come back, and then they're going to go again sometime. But in that meeting, I began by trying to encourage them to all be aware of what generation they're in. I think it's vital for believers to know where you are in the prophetic timetable of the Lord, and not like you can know exactly the date and the hour exactly, but knowing what generation you're in, and you're in, and we've said before, you're in the most unique generation that's ever been on planet Earth. Not only is Israel back in the land, 1948, and Jerusalem was taken in 1967, and there's been just a rapid explosion of technology where Daniel's prophecies are fulfilled, that information and knowledge is running to and fro. I mean, there's so many prophecies that have been fulfilled, and we've taken time to do that. But one of the greatest things that you need to know, and I hope you're aware of, is you're in the midst of the greatest harvest that's ever happened on planet Earth. It's happening to your generation. 70%, and I think I've got a slide for this, 70% of everyone that's ever been saved on planet Earth has been saved, in church history, has been saved in the last 100 years. So 70%, 30% in the 1900 years previous, 70% have done. Now, there's a great population exponential increase, so some of that makes sense, but really it's kind of a missional thrust that's a unique thing. 70% of that 70% have been saved since 1945, and 70% of that number have been saved since 1990. What this boils down to is this. One-third of everyone that's ever been saved on planet Earth has been saved in the last 20 to 25 years. That's your lifetime. You're in the middle of the greatest harvest ever on planet Earth because Jesus is about to come back. And there's a mass harvest. There's a mass proliferation of evil. There's prophetic stuff happening with Israel, and there's a mass harvest happening right now. We need even a bigger one because there's 7 billion people on the planet. I think there's 1 to 2 billion people that are unengaged with the gospel. And so there's a lot still to do, but there's with a great rapidity, we are nearing the end of the age and many people are being born again. And so I wanted to encourage you about the generation you lived in. You could have been born in 1650. You could have been born in 1340. I don't know if you ever think about that, in a different place, but you were born now at this greatest hour in human history. And there's the sickle from heaven, if you will, is swinging through the earth and harvesting the earth. The stories, the glorious stories we hear running along with martyrdom and advancement of the gospel into unreached people groups is just off the chart. It's just amazing. I get reports weekly almost of some of the guys we're associated with getting into unreached areas, not only of U.S. cities, but in the nations with the gospel. And it's just a great time to be alive. And so I wanted to say that to you so that you might be aware, because I think it would be a bummer if you slept through this generation. I think it would be a bummer if you slept through. Not only is the need so great, but I want you to be, you know, him most glorified and you most joyified and everyone around you edified. And that means you being alert that your life is more than just about making a living, getting through this, having a little retirement, you know what I mean, and having a nice funeral. You know, your life is about thrusting, helping the kingdom of God come here at the end of the age. And I know those are big thoughts for a little group in Kansas, and I'm given to big thoughts, but I just want to be with a group of people that are living for the big thing. And we got to keep going to work and keep doing your marriage and keep paying your bills. You got to deal with failings and struggles within your lives and your marriages and go through the redemptive process. Let's keep taking care of the little stuff. But brothers and sisters, beloved, I'm making this appeal everywhere. Don't miss what age you live in. There is supernatural grace to be part of this great harvest, and it's such a privilege to be part of it right before Christ comes back. With that piece of information mixed with this one, I want to try to here and there drop little phrases in your hearts for those that can't be at the prayer meetings. You weren't able to be one day when this happened. But when we're praying every day, the Spirit begins to lead us and certain phrases come and your hearts just burn. My favorite time is when other people pray them and I feel it stir my heart. Every now and then I pray them, but you'll be praying. All the prayer is good, but every now and then you'll hit a phrase or you'll hit an emphasis, and it's just an awesome thing. This week, there was a phrase that rose up in one of the meetings, which was, Lord, release the fire that that makes wet things burn up. Release the fire that makes wet things burn up. And with that was this momentum. It was really the Elijah story. You remember Elijah had the altar, and there's the showdown with the prophets of Baal, and he drenches the altar, and it's just over the top, water running everywhere. And then Elijah prays, and a fire comes from heaven and burns up all that is wet. I mean, this stuff's not ready to burn at all. And so really what the thrust of that prayer was is, Lord, take wet, altered hearts and send your fire and start a revival among us. Send the fire that can set wet things. It can burn them up. Because really, man's fire, my enthusiasm, another good preacher, another good book, another conference, another building. I mean, praise God for all of that that's in the big plan of God. But I think you all agree, at the end of the day, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that's really going to transform men and women, not only from lostness to savedness, but from apathy and lackadaisical ambivalence into passion and desire for the things of the kingdom of God. So that's primarily what we're praying every day is, Lord, send the fire. Send your fire. That fire came and licked up all the water and burnt wet wood and wet animals and just came with power. And so what I would like to do is, if you would participate with us, because we're not making consumers, we're making disciples, is I want you, the royal priesthood, to labor with us twice today, before I preach and after. Would you, with the persons kind of near you, in twos or threes, would you pray for more harvest in the earth? Thank the Lord for the generation you're in, and pray for thousands to be saved here and millions in the earth. And would you also pray for revival fire to fall upon our lives, to kickstart, you know? Don't you all agree that Jesus is worthy of more than an ambivalent bride? I mean, Amy likes me most of the time and actually acts like she wants to be with me. I just can't imagine if she didn't and she was lackadaisical about it and didn't have any desire or passion. You know what I mean? And so Jesus is worthy of a bride that is that longs for him and is not just using him to get out of hell. And so we need revival for that to happen. We do. I'm talking with pastors around town, and we know we need the Spirit of God to do it. So would you just take a couple minutes, and before I share, just an amen with the people around you. Pray for the harvest and pray for revival in the church, that fire would come and light our hearts up. Just very simply, go ahead and do that. You can move around if you want to in here, or just lean across and just, I'd like you to pray and be active in praying more than just me praying from the front.